start the meeting. So, Chris, if you go ahead and start the recording, and Jim, you as well. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Roofing Technical Advisory Committee meeting of April 2nd, 2021. First, let me remind us of our teleconference participation process. It works best if you would mute your phone or computer using the system's function. Be aware of background noise, especially speaker phones and you know, sidebar conversations. They're very disruptive, and you know, shuffling papers, et cetera, just amplified through the system. Please wait till you're called upon to speak. I will call on everybody in order. I'll make sure everybody gets their chance to speak on each issue. Please identify yourself each time by name, each time you speak, and especially TAC members when making and seconding motions. Please do so by name. Those are the main pieces of the process. Okay, let's now ensure that we have a quorum. Commissioner Swope, Brian. Oh, Brian is definitely on. Brian, we're not able to hear you. I see you. Still can't hear you, Brian. You might want to figure out what's going on with your mic. Maybe your volume needs to be turned up. I'm marking Brian present. Commissioner Batts, Jim, are you on?
I'm here, Jeff.
Great. Commissioner Boyer, Bob, are you on?
I'm on.
Very good, Bob. Jimmy Butner. Jimmy, are you on? I see Jim there, so I'm going to mark him present. George Ebersol.
Here.
Charlie Kennedy for Burt Logan. Oh, you know he's here, so I'm going to mark him here. Gaspar Rodriguez.
I'm here.
Very good. Lorena Alicia Ross. I don't see Lorraine, so. All right, William Schultz.
Here.
Very good. John Gar for Karen Worsak.
Here.
And Mark Zeno. Mark, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, we just had a new caller just called in. Please identify yourself by name.
Jeff, I think it's me, Brian Swope. I couldn't get my computer to work, so I was called in.
Okay, great. Thanks, Brian. Okay, well, we have 10 of 11 constituting quorum. Then let's, we have our staff. We have Robert Benbow. We have Mo Madani. We have Tom Campbell, Justin Vogel, Chris Howe, Jim Hammers. I believe that's, and myself, Jeff Blair, I believe that's everybody that's on the call. Okay, today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the July 27th meeting and to accept the interim draft report, evaluation of the cost impact and benefit of 2021 I-code changes, and then to consider and make a recommendation to the commission regarding deck statement DS 2021-007, and then, you know, public comment, et cetera. Brian, if you would ask for a motion to approve the minutes as posted, please, sir.
All right. Guys, I will...
Sorry, the agenda. Agenda, sorry.
But yeah, can I get a motion to approve the agenda, please?
Questions to approve, Jim Batts.
Just 4 seconds.
Second. All right, discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
All right, next is approval of July 27th, 2021 meeting minutes. Unless there's any corrections or revisions, Brian, I'll turn it to you for action.
All right. Could I get a motion to approve the previous meeting agenda or minute?
So moved, Boyer.
The motion.
Second. Second.
All approved?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you, Brian. So our next order of business is to receive the interim draft report regarding evaluation of cost impact and benefits 2021 I-code changes, prescriptive code changes. I'm going to turn it to Mo to give us a little introduction, and then Ray Eisen from University of Florida will do his presentation. Mo, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Mo Madani, and as it says by Jeff, on the agenda, we will be getting a presentation from University of Florida to update us on the work for the project titled Evaluation of the Cost Impact and Benefits of the 2021 International Building Code Prescriptive Code Changes. The purpose of this this research project is mainly to assess the cost impact and quantitative benefits of the changes to the 2021 International Building Code that are prescriptive in nature and that have the potential of adding cost to construction. This is mainly a project that's focused only on the latest code changes to the international code. As you know, for the putting together the next update to the Florida Building Code, the 2023, we'll be looking at reviewing the ICO changes to the 2021 International Code. So this project is mainly to review those code changes, and it provides a qualitative assessment, or sometimes a quantitative, of their cost impact to construction. It's only limited to those code changes that's prescriptive in nature. As you know, in the code, or the I-code, there's a lot of performance requirements. It's very difficult to really cost them out. Today with us, Dr. Issa is the principal investigator for the project, and he's on the line to give us the status of the project for the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everybody. And we'll go through the changes that we have observed that have a cost. The first one is S10-19, reinstallation materials, and that has to do with the ballast on the roofs and reusing it. And if the material is reusable, then there certainly is a decrease in cost by using it. S17-19, gutter securement for low slope roofs. This applies to external gutters, and that will result in an increase in cost of 6 cents per linear foot. S21-19, wind-resistant aggregate surface roofs, that will result in an increase in cost. There could be minimal based on the design conditions. Then we have RB-275-19, relates to the underlayment on residences, and that would result in an increase in cost of 10 cents per square foot minimum. And that's the extent of the cost impact of the changes as far as roofing assemblies are concerned.
Okay. Does any TAC member have any questions? Okay, Dr. Isis, do you have additional information to report?
No, that's it.
Great, thanks. All right, is there any public comment?
Yes. This is Mike Silvers with FRSA. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to speak today. Just as a general note, and I went through the entire document, it's somewhat puzzling to me how some of these changes arrived at a no increase in cost in general. I don't know exactly how the thing was written and how it was supposed to be responded to, but anytime you change administrative stuff, there are costs involved with that too. And it seems to me that maybe that's not been taken into account. One other thing, there's about 25 places in the report where it refers to permit valuation, and the permit valuation sections talk about specifically having to provide all of your breakdowns of the cost of how your contract was established. I know that didn't come up today as one of the items for the TAC, but I want to make sure that the TAC members are aware of that, and that it would require you to submit cost breakdowns in order to get permit valuations. And that was one of the items that didn't have any cost associated with it, as I recall, and obviously that would increase the cost. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any additional public comment? All right, so I want to come back to the TAC. If Dr. Issa would like to say anything, feel free. Otherwise, we would be looking for a motion to accept the report. And as you know, TAC members, when we get into the I-code review process in the fall, you will have an opportunity to evaluate each of these and use this information and other information in making your decision on whether to incorporate those changes. Do you want to say anything, Dr. Issa, before we move on?
No.
Very good. Brian, why don't you, well, this TAC members, does anybody want to ask any questions or any discussion before we solicit a motion to accept the report?
Well, I'll jump on and ask this question here. Do we need to revise the report? I mean, since there are going to be, obviously, there's been a mention of ad cost with the code changes. So one, and two, Dr. Issa, do you have roofing? I mean, I've never been reached out to as far as any of the cost evaluations of this. Do you have roofing contractors that you're communicating with as far as the code changes or that are in there, or is this, you know, kind of speculation that through other items that have come across?
Oh, we have used a standard RS means cost tables. And
I'm sorry, this is an interim
and draft, so all the costs are not in the tables yet. You look at the progress line on the page 2, you'll see that we're not at the final point yet. So consequently, you'll get another chance at looking at this. This is just a snapshot of several weeks ago of where we were at.
Okay.
That's a good clarification. Go ahead, Brian.
I understand it's a working document. I totally understand that. Who did you say? What number?
RS means.
Okay. So have you reached out to roofing contractors? Or is it just through the RS means?
Not yet. The roofing contractors. Okay,
but on the next draft, we'll go through either a local contractor or
correct. We'll get in touch and get some input.
Okay.
Jeff, this is Mo. If it's okay with
sure, Mo, go ahead.
I think at this point, as really was stated by Dr. Issa, we're in the interim stage of this research. The project. We are only looking at really, at this point, preliminary work on this project and conceptually, of what we're doing and all that. Now, if any of you have taken the opportunity to review the specific and you have a specific comment, feel free to send them to me. And I'll be glad to make him available to Dr. Issa to be able to address him. But in general, at this point, this is mainly an interim status report, which is delayed, has not reached the final stage. Thank you.
All right. With that information, I think Mo makes a good point. Before I say it, Mike want to submit some comments to Mo, and he'll convey those and others. And it's an interim draft. I think that's what it says, too. If there isn't any other comments or discussion, then we look for a motion to accept the draft interim report.
Make that motion, Mark. Second, Boyer.
Go ahead, Brian.
Got a motion, a second, and discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Dr. Issa. Okay, our next piece of business, and really our last piece of business, is to provide the Commission with a recommendation on declaratory statement DS 2021-007 by Chris Casagrande of SDII Global Corporation. So I think what we'll do first is probably hear from our legal counsel, since there is a petition intervened. Then we'll hear from the petitioner in public comment. Then we'll come back to Mo for staff analysis, and then we'll have our discussion and decision by the TAC. Justin, or does that seem like the right approach?
Yes. This is Justin Vogel. The petition to intervene will be addressed at the Commission's April meeting. Since FRSA has included a technical analysis in the petition, we included that as we would sort of for any public comment. But for this morning, the TAC should be focused on dealing with the technical questions. Legal issues will be resolved at the Commission meeting.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Justin. Okay, is there anybody here representing the petitioner who would like to speak? All your documentation has been submitted as a staff analysis, as you know. If you'd like to make some additional comments this time, please identify yourself by name, and then we'll take public comment, and we'll come back to Mo for staff analysis and then for the TAC. Is anybody here representing the petitioner?
I am here. My name is Jeff Basler. I'm a professional engineer and a registered architect, and I am an employee of SDII. Chris was unable to make today's TAC meeting, and I've been working hand in hand with Mo, as well as Chris, to draft up this document, and so I'm here to represent SDII.
Sure, no problem, Jeff. Go ahead if you'd like to say something.
Well, I feel that the petition is relatively self-explanatory. And I really wasn't planning on reiterating. I'm sure everybody on the TAC is familiar with it. So I would just say that the petition really speaks for itself. And if anybody has any questions or clarifications about why we're asking, it really came up with the omission of section 502.3 related work, up until the code change. It was, the question that was being asked, which is, it was easy to answer. So
you're satisfied with staff's recommendation?
Yeah, that's really what I'm getting at. I don't need to get into any more detail about that. I read this staff recommendation and we agree.
Great. That's perfect. Thanks. Anybody else in the public like to comment?
Yes, Mike Silvers from FRSA.
Go ahead,
a couple of things. One, I've looked real close at the petition, obviously, and staff's analysis, and agree in general with the staff analysis. However, I think maybe it's being made a little more complicated than it has to be. The 25% rule says not more than 25% of the total roof area or roof section of any existing building or structure shall be repaired, replaced, or recovered in any 12-month period, unless the entire existing roofing system or roof section is replaced to conform to the requirements of this code. A roof section is described in the code as a separating or division of a roof area by an existing expansion joint, parapet wall, flashing, excluding valleys, difference of elevation, excluding hips and ridges, roof types or legal descriptions, and very importantly, not including the roof area required for a proper tie-off with an existing system. The word tie-off, I know from talking to some folks, is causing a little confusion. I think most people in the roofing industry would consider that tie-off a tie-in, but it's just a matter of terms. I think it's the same thing. And the question is pretty straightforward. When determining if a roof repair exceeding the 25% threshold specified in section, we know the section, existing building, should work on non-damaged components still be omitted from the repair area calculation, and we feel quite strongly that the roof section description, not including the roof area required for a proper tie-off with an existing system, answers that question. I would recommend to the TAC that they answer with a simple yes to the question without any of the other items that have been brought up to qualify that answer. Just a simple yes to the question that's been asked. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any other public comment? Okay, I'm going to come to Mo now for staff analysis, and then the TAC will discuss and provide their recommendation to the commission. Mo.
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Mindani, and thanks to everybody for the comments. And as you see, the staff analysis is posted on the agenda. And the issue here is DS 2021-007. The petitioner is seeking a declaratory statement on whether the work on non-damaged roof components would still be omitted from the repair area calculation when determining if a roof repair exceeds the 25% threshold. And the petitioner presented to us a specific question that he would like answer to. He's saying, when determining if a roof repair exceeds the 25% threshold specified in section 706.1.1 of the 7th edition of the FPC, existing building should work on non-damaged components still be omitted from the repair area calculation. I think really the issue of the 25% and the issue of the section 502.3 related work being removed, from the 2020 code, et cetera, that's already been addressed. So normally when we address a deck statement or try to really answer a question on it, we limit the answer to the fact presented. So in this case, the petitioner is giving us a situation which is outlined in the analysis. He stated that it's a roofing system where it was determined that the damaged roof cladding along the rack edge of the roof required repair, the area requiring repair equate to 5% of the roof section area. The repair method selected involved removal and reinstallation of non-damaged component upslope of the damaged component, which added an additional 25% of the roof section area to the roof area. The area of damaged component plus non-damaged component made the repair area 30% of the roof section area, which exceeds the 25% threshold stated in 706.1.1. So the scope of work here, or the facts given to us, is that you have an actual area that needs to be repaired because of a damage, and also it states that the repair must be selected, involve removal and reinstallation of non-damaged components. And that's another fact that's presented here. So when staff looked at this, it's, when you look at the 2020 Florida building code, existing building, it does not, no longer really refer to related work. This term is not used in the code, or the section is no longer there. That was referred to in this analysis. So we looked at the staff, we looked at the definitions involved, we looked at the roof recover, roof repair, roof replacement, and roof section. And the section that we need to really focus on is the section that's being addressed in the question, which is Section 706.1.1, which says not more than 25% of the total roof area or roof section of any existing building or structure shall be repaired, replaced, or recovered in any 12-month period unless the entire existing roof system or roof section is replaced to conform to the requirement of this code. Now, if you take this section together, 706.1.1, it really talks about three things. It's really whether you're repairing the roof, whether you're replacing the roof, or you're recovering. Replacement, we're not doing any replacement here. We are mainly repairing the roof. We're not recovering. We're not really installing a new roof over an existing roof. So the key here is the word repaired. What does really this word mean? So the only way you can get a clarification on this is by going to the definition of the code. And if you go to the definition of repair in the code, which I have outlined in the analysis, there is two definitions here. One is roof repair and the other one is repair. So when you look at the term roof repair, it says, is the reconstruction or the renewal of any part of an existing roof for the purpose of maintenance. Same thing, it says repair. Is the reconstruction, replacement, or renewal of any part of the existing building for the purpose of its maintenance to the correct damage. So it really, it says, when we talk about repair, we're only talking about that area that's in need of repair, that need to be fixed, restored to its original condition. There's nowhere here I see where it says, also repair include related work. Same thing with Mike mentioned the fact that the roof section, yes, I agree with Mike, you know, it does talk about defining the code section, and it says not including the roof area required for a proper tie off with an existing roof. Taking all that into consideration, staff, mainly there is two options as an answer to the question. So the question now, just for record, it says the question is, when determining if a roof repair exceeds the 25% threshold specified in section 706.1.1 of the 7 edition of the FPC, existing building, should work on non-damaged component is still be omitted from the repair area calculation? The petitioner answer to the question is mainly he's saying that he's reviewed the pertinent sections of the FPC and respectfully believe that the answer to the question is yes. We do not believe that the intention of the code is to burden the property owner with unnecessary costs, etc. So that his answer to the question is yes, with some explanations. Now, when we, as a staff, when we try to really answer a question, we try to answer it from the specific code sections that really provide the basis for the answer. We, you know, and has really then been the way to answer a question is by providing the basis and the justification for it. So in terms of staff, you know, I think the staff answer is in agreement with the petitioner answer to the question, however, with some details. So the answer from the staff, the answer to the petitioner question is yes. As per the definition of the terms roof repair, roof, and roof section of Chapter 2 definition, and Section 706.1.1 of the 7 edition 2020 Florida Building Code FPC existing building, the level of repair as it relates to the project in question is limited in scope to the repair work on the damaged roof components that involve reconstruction and or removal and replacement of the damaged roof components. Related work, which involves the removal and reinstallation of non-damaged components from for the purpose of connecting repaired area to unrepaired areas, roof area, between brackets, roof areas required for a proper tie-off bracket, shall not be considered part of the roof repair in question, and therefore such related work shall not be counted toward the 25% threshold stated in Section 706.1.1 of the 7 edition 2020 floor FPC existing building. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. All right, TAC members, we have heard from the petitioner, we've heard from the public, and it's up to you now to make a recommendation to the commission. So we'll open it up to the TAC. Who would like to speak? Or if you want to make a motion, that's fine as well.
Gaspar, I have a question.
Go ahead, Gaspar. All
right. I just wanted to clarify, because everything's been a little bit general, and the petitioner says that the repair method selected. I was wondering if he could elaborate on who selected that method. Because that, you know, again, what he's showing on the petition, I don't think there's probably maybe 5% of roofing contractors, and it's probably none of them are FRSA members, would do the repair that way. So I'm just wondering, on this specific, the way it seems that they're just trying to extend that the 5% damage into over 25%. If somebody else recommended that, and if you can, if the petitioner considers that a tie-in, because it would all then fall back into, I think, what Mike Silvers was saying, that I think the answer should be basically everything that's in it, but the last statement in the answer would be related work required for the proper tie-in shall not be included in the calculations of the 25% rule. But I'd like to hear from the petitioner if, I mean, again, if somebody else is recommending this extra work, and if he considers it a tie-in, and if he considers it even necessary. Thank you.
Okay, I understand your question. So to answer the question about who is recommending that, that's kind of, there's many different ways that we can make a repair to a roof. So, for example, if a tree comes down and grazes the corner of an eave and it damages the say roof tiles for the purposes of me answering this question, and those tiles are secured to the roof with mechanical fasteners, there's at least two different ways that you can make that repair. One repair method would be to remove the damaged tiles, cut any of the fasteners that are in the roofing assembly, patch them, and then spot replace the tiles. In that case, the 25% rule is clear. You're not disturbing any undamaged portions. But another way that is often proposed to us from different roofing contractors is that because they're fastened mechanically, in order for the roofer to be able to access these fasteners, they have to lift the upslope tile to be able to access the fastener and unscrew it. It's because they don't want to cut it at the surface of the roofing assembly. So what happens is you have this tear effect because of the way that these tiles are overlapping. You have to remove all of them upslope until you're at a point where you can access the fasteners cleanly. And that's where the question comes up. So to answer the question about who chose the selective method, we're curious about how this is handled from the perspective of what are we to advise the homeowners, the roofing contractors, or anybody who's interested in the way that this roof is being replaced. How do we advise them if one method is clear and does not accept the 25% rule, but the other method, which was formally clear, it was clear in the 2017 code that the undamaged components that are being reinstalled are not counted, but now with the 2020, it becomes vague. And so the purpose of this petition was to get clarification on that question. So again, the damaged portion is a small area. The area that's being removed and reinstalled is a large area because of the configuration of the roof. And at the end of it, we need to be able to say, yes, the 25% rule is triggered, or no, the 25% rule is not triggered. And unfortunately, Section 502.3 made that job easy for us up until January 1st of this year.
Okay, so, but Mo, your answer, staff's analysis addresses the issue of removing undamaged areas in order to make a proper tie-in or tie-off, as it's called. Mo, you want to address that?
Yeah, I think based on the facts provided, we only can look at the facts as provided. We don't really try to really kind of bring more facts at this point. The facts here is the fact we have a damaged tile area, a damaged roof area that's 5%. And in order to fix that damaged area, you need to connect, or you need to go up the slope to be able to provide for a continuous barrier or underlayment. And you have to remove undamaged, in this case, you have to, you are removing non-damaged components, and we're saying, yeah, this is related work, and the related work in this case, it doesn't fall under the definition of repair as stated in 706.1.1. So that's in the answer. We did address that, yes.
All right, the last sentence says it explicitly. Yes. Okay, additional TAC members, any comments or a motion? All right, well then, would a TAC member wish to make a motion, please, regarding a recommendation to the commission?
Brian? Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yeah,
Jeff.
Go ahead, Brian. Sure.
Jeff, okay. I'll make a comment in here on this one. I agree. I think it's a simple yes. It's still, you know, you do not include, you know, same way, you know, do not include areas to fix the work that, you know, the damage is the damage, not what's, you know, involved in anything else. I think anything else you add into that, you know, making exceptions as far as, you know, getting into it, and the more you add into it, the more you're going to kind of lend a fraud. I know we dealt with one, seems like a couple months ago, under the last code cycle, but, you know, it looked like there was, you know, a grand total of about 2% of the roof that was done, and it, you know, to repair it, it was going to be 30% of the roof, maybe, so the whole complex is going to be done. I think we're continually trying to maneuver our code to battle fraud and battle fraudulent work and you know, improper business practices. And I think the more that we add into it, the more explanation we give to it, that the more we're going to kind of give wiggle room to kind of manipulate around that. I'm totally fine with a simple yes. It is the damaged area is a damaged area. Anything else involved in it, that's, you know, that does not count towards it, and that's not, that should not be added in there as well.
This is Mo Madani. If it's okay with, I think based on the Brian statements and concern, how, you know, just really an option that I threw in. How about we say, okay, the answer to the petitioner question is yes. As per the definition of the term roof section of Chapter 2 definition and Section 706.1.1 of the 7 edition 2020 for the building code building, existing building, we can say, then you can remove all those in between and say related work for the purpose of connecting repaired areas to unrepaired areas, roof area required for proper tie-off shall not be considered part of the roof repair in question, and therefore such related work shall not be counted toward the 25% threshold stated in Section 706.1.1 of the 7 edition 2020 existing building. I think you can say yes, although you say yes, but you need to kind of qualify it as why. So it's more of a, so I,
right.
You can take whatever is and jump into the conclusion.
So, if you want, I made those changes to the verbiage in strike underline or in strike. If you wanted to give me a screen share, I could put it up and then make sure it's right, and then we could look at what you're proposing, if that's reasonable.
That's fine.
This is Justin Vogel. If I could also in, I'd like to just sort of echo what Mr. Madani is saying, Commissioner Swope. I would strongly suggest that there be some level of explanation provided beyond just a simple yes that might be sort of like barely sufficient as far as an answer. But if this declaratory statement were eventually to be reviewed by some further legal authority, then if there's no explanation whatsoever of how the commission arrived at its interpretation, then I think that would just make it weaker than it would really need to be.
Okay. Do you want me to put it up on the screen?
Yeah, if you would, please.
If Jim, if you'd give me screen share, please. Are you seeing my screen? I'm not hearing anybody.
I can see it now.
Yeah, we are.
All right, so if I got it right, Mo, we go back to the thing. The answer to the petition is yes, as per the definition of terms, strike roof repair and just put roof section, blah, 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 strike the level of repair as it relates to through components, leave this language at the last sentence, and the petition actually shows section 705.
That's not correct. The analysis is correct, so it does say 706, so don't worry about that.
So I fixed it here as well, because in the one I saw. So anyway, so this would be it. This is a proposal. Brian said he was fine with that. So any other discussion from our TAC members, or is there a motion to approve this amended version as amended by the by you as a roofing TAC? I'm not really hearing anybody.
This is Ebersold. I make a motion to accept it as amended.
All right. Is there a second?
Castle second.
All right. We have a second. I didn't catch who the second was from, but.
Jim Bass.
Jim, thank you, Commissioner. Go ahead, Brian. We have a motion and a second.
All right, I'm just reading this one last section here. I'm kind of looking at this reinstallation of the non-damaged component here. Related work, which involves
that's really the reinstallation
have to be in there.
Well, it's that's really the fact within the project is that he's going to reinstall. You are reinstalling non-damaged components. You're removing it and reinstalling it. Part of the fact you presented.
Right, but my concern is that if I get a roof that's, you know, I got a 5x5 on a 100x100 building, and yes, if I remove it, obviously that's kind of understood that I got to reinstall it. But if I get an opportunity to remove and then reinstall a bunch more in there, I'm trying to narrow this down as much as possible. And I think reinstallation or insulation, if you will, is kind of understood. I'm more worried about kind of limiting that, just limiting it to the removal.
The
roofing tax committee
is that
possible, or do we need to put that in there as well?
Compton, could I make a comment?
Sure, Commissioner, sure. Go ahead.
I kind of understand Commissioner Swope's point here, but another concern that I have is during the removal of the tile that's undamaged, we might damage a tile or two. So we have to put a new tile in as part of that reinstallation. So, you know, that can have some consequences when we say non-damaged components. I mean, I agree they start out as non-damaged components, but it's possible a tile could get damaged as part of the removal of the process. So, that could start. I deal with this a lot with SBII, but in the same capacity, and I understand some of the issues we run into with this.
All right. So, what would be your suggestion?
What about you can say this? This is Mo Madani. Just we can say related work which involves the removal and reinstallation of removed components instead of non-damaged components. The removed component. Right. How you put it back? It doesn't matter.
But Mo, my question is okay. So I understand on a tile roof. I understand on a shingle roof. What about a low-slope roof? If I go and I cut out, more than I need to get everything else out.
Brian, could I clarify something real quick? Because what Mo's proposing here, I think, addresses your concern. He's proposing strike non-damage, so it would say removal and reinstallation of removed. That means you could if you had to put new stuff, it wouldn't stop you from doing it with that change in terminology. You're not saying reinstallation of the non-damage. You're just saying reinstallation of the removed material. It doesn't tell you how you have to do it. That gives you the discretion. That really hits you.
For me, that makes it muddier than it was to begin with. Because if I've got reinstallation of removed components, I see that as I got to put back, say an old gravel roof that, is fairly thick. It's not coming apart very, 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 not nice and neat. It's kind of limiting me to have stuff net back in there.
What would you propose? What would be your preferred?
I would put the removal and I would almost strike out the reinstallation portion, because the reinstallation is understood. I mean, you're not going to remove it.
So you'd like to see it say, involves the removal of non-damaged components by striking out and reinstallation. Is that what your suggestion?
That would work for me. Does anybody else have, I mean, CAC members, public, I mean, does anybody else have any?
I think you're going to have to keep the word reinstallation in there. Maybe just say related work involves removal and reinstallation of components.
Again, Chairman, through to the chair, again, what I originally had brought up, I think the basic premise on the example we're given today is for a proper tie-off. Again, removal. Again, if the damaged tile was in the middle of the roof, halfway up, what's to stop a contractor from removing three rows underneath it, which we all would believe is not necessary for a proper tie-off because they're dirty or whatever. So I believe what we're looking at now is, and that's what we're using from the roof section, is for a proper tie-off. That's why I think the emphasis should be related work involved in the proper tie-off shall not be considered part of the roof repair in question.
But I think that language is already there where it starts for the purpose of. That whole phrase there limits the scope.
Okay, so sorry, folks, please stop for a second. I want to focus and deal with one issue at a time. Everybody will have a chance, I promise, and if you have proposals, we'll take them. But right now, I want to address the proposal that Commissioner Compton just put on the table and see what you think about that and whether it addresses the concerns. If not, we'll try to tweak it further. Commissioner Compton just suggested what I reflect here, which this sentence now reads, related work which involves the removal and reinstallation of components, striking the original language that was there before, the non-damaged and all that. So that's out. I think that probably addresses Brian's concern. So is that acceptable verbiage that addresses the concern? I think, you know, everybody's trying to hit the concern to make sure that it's clear and doesn't muddy the issue. So I'd like to test whether this proposal would do that for you, and so that we don't have to go around and around the circle on this. Brian, does this sort of work for you?
It's getting there. I can't put my finger on it, but it's getting there. I'm trying to read this thing. And
all right, we'll take a minute to take a look at it. So what I want to do now is only discuss this proposal, nothing else. You'll have a chance later if we need it. All right. To the language that's proposed by Commissioner Compton. Who's trying to speak?
Mike Silvers. The chairman asked for public comment. We got one. So I'd like to make public comment based on the chairman's request.
What do you mean? I'm confused by what you're saying. The chairman asked for public comment?
The chairman, just before the petitioner commented, asked for public comment. The petitioner spoke, and I was asking an opportunity to address the group as well.
So I asked if there's anybody within the TAC or public that had any comments on this, just to get a little more input, since
I just didn't hear you ask. There's no problem. I just wanted to make sure.
Jeff, anyone with changes on this, so I just want to make sure that the group is good with it.
Okay, so since we have a new proposal on the table, which we do, is there any public comment?
Yes, there's public comment. And I, again, I've got to go back to before that proposal was put out. I just want to add something. The reinstallation creates a problem in a shingle roof, for instance, and we're answering questions that will go much farther than the tile roof that was used as a demonstration of the question. This will affect all roof types. And reinstallation of materials creates a problem. You can't reinstall shingles. You can't reinstall BUR. You can't reinstall modified. The tie-in may require new materials in order to get a proper tie-in. So anything that talks about the reinstallation of components is going to cause a problem. You can say the reinstallation of components, period, without reinstallation, the removal and installation of components. But again, we can discuss the motion that's on the suggestion that's on the floor now.
Okay, well, that's another possibility that's being proposed. as a possible alternative.
Okay, thanks.
One second. Is there any additional public comment before I go back to the TAC? Okay, so I'm coming back to the TAC. So we have one proposal on the table, which is to, you know, removal and reinstallation of components, and then we heard from a public comment that perhaps it would work better from industry's perspective, related work which involves the removal and installation of components. So two choices there that we can evaluate. So we'll put both of those up for discussion. Go ahead, let's continue, TAC members.
Okay. Compton, can I pull mine and run with Mr. Silver's?
Absolutely. So what we'll do then is, I'll strike, and I didn't highlight it properly, sorry. Well, anyway, I think we get the point there. I just missed the R. Okay, related work which involves removal and installation of components for the purpose of blah, blah, blah. That's Commissioner Compton has accepted that as his new amendment. Do we have a second to that revision?
Second, Moyer.
A motion and a second for this language. Further discussion. Brian, go ahead.
I appreciate the help there. That was where I couldn't put my finger on it for future stuff. But we have a motion and a second. Do we have any more discussion? Hearing none, can I get a motion to, or can I get all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion.
Great. Okay. Well, that was good work, TAC members. Okay. So our next order of business is there any additional public comment? Anybody else have anything to say?
Justin Vogel, I was just going to say, it wasn't Commissioner Compton who made that motion, Craig. There was actually he's not a member of the roofing TAC.
Oh, good point.
I believe that there was a different TAC member who made it, but I don't recall necessarily who it was, and I don't know that they responded to the suggested amendment.
Okay.
It was Engelfold that made the first motion, and I will withdraw that in favor of the one we just voted on.
Is that sufficient, or do you want to go back and redo it just to be sure, Justin?
Yeah. I'm fine with it. It sounds like the TAC was on board with it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so I thought, yeah, my mistake, and thank you for catching that. That was George who made the motion. Okay, and I think Commissioner Batts made the second, if I'm not mistaken. All right, thank you all. And so is there any additional comment? And how do I get off the screen share?
Jeff, thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I had no issue with it. I just wanted to, you know, understand what I didn't get the connection. That's no problem. Okay, then Brian, go ahead. I think you can adjourn us.
All right. If there's no further business, I appreciate you all's time, and I wish you all a happy Easter. And we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.